Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good.
34 felony. He's guilty.
You know,
Trump?
I very rarely tweet about politics or even, like, whatever. When I have Fishman on my show, we talk about the economy and what is happening in the world. But, like, it is interesting. Because we are so polarized, like, I haven't mentioned this trial on my radio show. Like, and we talk about the rest. Like, I talked to Sam Hardiman about the city, and I talked to Fishman about the world and whatever. And I have not mentioned this trial on the radio show just because I don't want to tick everybody off one way or another. You know what I mean? And it is. And the only thing I'll say now is that I was just flipping back and forth between CNN and Fox.
Saw this.
And it is just. It is, we live in two completely different universes. And I'm not even like, whichever universe you're in, I'm just telling you. Like, if you're watching CNN, you're hearing historic day, you know, it is a, never before has a president been convicted, you know, of a felony. He's still like, this is a, you know, a jury of his peers, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're listening to Fox, you're hearing Kangaroo Court, we're now Venezuela.
Right.
This is absolutely the end of the American system. We are now a banana republic. And there, not only that, there's really on neither network even has a dissenting voice. There's nobody on Fox saying, yo, this is like a jury of his peers. I thought you all were law and order people. And like, why is it worth sacrificing everything in favor of this guy? Like, why have we set? But there's also over on CNN, there's no one saying, isn't this case kind of a stretch? Like, of all the things you could, all the things that he's been charged with,
right,
or in other cases, this one involves falsifying business records, which is a misdemeanor, unless it's on top of something else, which is what happened, which made this a felony. And come on, man. Seriously, isn't that, like, fine? Like, that I get it, jury of his peers and everything else, but of all the cases that could be brought against Trump and all the, this one that seems the most of us kind of a stretch, right? Can't we?
Right.
There's no one either side even saying that. It's, and so if all you did, like, just take Fox, which I was just watching. If all you did was watch Fox, and that's the only place you got any of your news and whatever else, I totally understand why you'd want to storm the Capitol, because you would think that America was ending, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we just live in, and so of course there's no way we can meet in the middle and agree on things, because our entire perception of reality is so different and so framed by, you know, that there's no chance that we can.
Well,
be
they're
other
on the polls.
Polarized.
There's so much damn ground to make up if you ever want to agree on anything.
You can't. Well, it's also, you can't agree on things when you, when just, I mean, the old, a former senator from New York named Daniel Patrick Moynihan used to say, he had a famous line once. He said, "You are entitled to your opinion. Your own opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts." And that's a great line. But now, and again, I say this without even, everybody has their own facts. And so if you have your own facts, then the opinions flow from the facts. And everybody has totally different facts now. And so it's just kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
But it's like, whatever you think, the phenomenon of Donald Trump, ever since he first announced for the presidency way back when, is something that will be studied for a very long time.
Yes.
And today, however you all view it, wherever you are viewing it, it is a remarkable day. And I'll try not to talk about it too much, because it's one way or another, it's just going to take people off.
And it does, I'll be honest, it does nothing to his presidential candidacy in the grand scheme of things. His base is his base.
I don't think it does. I mean, Donald Trump is the one who said, "I could shoot someone and I won't lose a vote." And I think it's very clearly been proven true. Like, he can say, anyone else, any other candidate, once it emerged that, say, with women, you could just grab them by the pee, like, if the next day they would have resigned, right? They would have said, "I'm not running anymore. Come on, I just said that. I can't." But, like, And but it doesn't matter. Like, nothing matters. This will not matter, because if you are, if you already weren't going to vote for him, the fact that he's convicted of 34 felonies doesn't make you more likely to vote for him. And if you were voting for him, you just think it's an illegitimate court in New York. And it actually might make you more outraged. So some people were like saying to me on Twitter, ha, just wait till he wins. And I think he will.
You're like, I don't disagree with you. I don't
disagree with you. Yeah. I think he will win. I don't take this as some, you know, maybe not. I don't know. But if I were to predict, to use Penny Hardaway's math, 70-30, I would say I think he will win. So I'm not. I didn't proclaim anything other than I think he'll probably win. And it's very clear that there is not, for those people who are going to vote for him, there is nothing. If at any point they would have blanched and said, I can't vote for that guy, they would have been there already. This isn't going to tip the scales, because you think this is an illegitimate trumped up, you know, trial. New York judges and New York juries and whatever else. So no, I don't think it's going to. Well, it'll be interesting. I don't think it will hurt him, and it could very well fire up his base.
Yes.
I mean, that was one of the questions they were being asked. Fox, how much of a bump is he going to get from this? And I'm like, what kind of world are we in? But that's the question. How much of a world is he going to get from this? How much of a bump is he going to get from this? Could very well help him. Could very well help him in the sense that it'll motivate his base.
But here's the other thing. It's like, it's so much more likely to help him than hurt him. That's why we have that conversation.
I think so. I think so. Now, you know, there's some polling that suggests that people would be less likely to vote for someone once they've been convicted of a felony. But I think it's more likely. I don't think it'll have much impact at all, period.
Right.
Unless it would be my guess. But I think it would be more likely to help him and fire up his base than it would be to hurt him. But I guess we'll see.
Now, I'm glad you brought up the Penny Hardaway math of 70-30, because I pride myself on my transitions, as you know. So we need to hop into David Jones. David Jones, it's not 70-30. It's 100. It's 0 to 100. He is he's going to the NBA draft. I think there's just been a lot of back and forth on this, you know, his decision. Is it a good one? Yeah. Is it not? What do you make of his decision? I thought you made some good, solid points on X last night.
Well, I mean, I've now said it, whatever. I mean, everyone's had their shot at this. It is not the decision I would have made, or I would have urged my son to make, right?
Sure.
Because it does seem like if you're simply saying what is the most likely path to making the most money, if I'm David Jones, it would have been coming back to the University of Memphis. And that seems pretty clear that would have been the most certain way to make the most money. But I also understand that people make decisions for all kinds of reasons, and to say that it's dumb, well, whatever. Maybe he's just done with college. Maybe he just wanted to get on with it. Maybe that he, like, whatever. Like, it's possible if he really does believe that. If he believes, well, you know what, I'm going to be drafted in the first round and I'm going to get a guaranteed contract for millions. Well, that would be dumb.
Yes,
but I don't think he's that delusional. I think he probably understands that this is the less certain path that he's embarked on, and that it's that he may not make as much money, probably won't right away, but maybe he's just done with playing college basketball. And I understand that it's certainly his decision to make. It's not mine to make, and it's really not mine to label it dumb. And I even think, listen, I don't think it helps him. Obviously, Penny Hardaway, the fact that it went into last night as Memphis is making a late push, according to all reports, makes it pretty clear that the university desperately wanted him back, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Penny has wanted people to play for him who have not helped. You know, he desperately wanted Imani to play for him. He desperately wanted Jordan Brown to come here and play for him. Here's a small secret. I never liked watching David Jones play basketball. Because he's a ball hog. He's a ball stopper. He doesn't guard. Like, I mean, Tim Buckley, and this may be a little strong. Like, I think it might have been different this year, because if had he come back this year,
you had guys that would play on ball.
Well, yes, and you have him coming back as the established leading scorer, right? Like, the guys around him, he would have come in as the alpha. right?
Yeah.
And so maybe things would have settled around him more smoothly than last year. When we look back at it, a year ago, we did not think he was going to be the leading scorer on this team. And so the entire season was sort of jostling for who is, you know, is it going to be Quinterly? Jordan Brown probably thought it was going to be him once, and then we realized it wasn't, and then he walks off. And so it was this sort of jostling for, you know, for place in the pecking order all year last year. And so maybe had he come back this year, it's pretty clear he would have come back as the alpha, and maybe things would have gone more naturally well. But I do think the way that he plays basketball doesn't help in terms of chemistry and his teammates and whatnot. Like, I would you like it?
I don't know. I think it would have been a different role for him, though, altogether this year. So I think
Yeah. And I think the players around him would have known coming in that he was going to be the dog or the guy, right?
Yeah.
And so that would have been different than if you were Quinterly or Jordan Brown and you came in.
And it could create a little internal strife, I guess, with new guys coming on camp, like P.J. Haggerty, who scored 22 points per game of his own last year.
Right, yeah, but so anyway, now they forge ahead, and I think it's pretty clear they're going to have to lean more heavily into into being a cohesive and vigorous defensive team. Right, when you take that scoring out of the lineup, I do think.
Well, you can add more scoring. I mean,
You can add whatever you want.
The silver lining of this whole thing is there's probably $750,000 worth of David Jones funds set aside that you can pay to one or two separate guys.
Have you figured out where you want to spend it?
I think Arthur Kaluma would be a fun one, who got out of the NBA draft last night, 14 points per game, 35% from three, 5 rebounds per game, good three. I here's the other thing that we have to acknowledge in today's day and age of how these things work. You know, remember TJ Bamba and Aaron Scott? Like, I don't think you can just say, like, that's completely over with. Obviously, they'd have to be let out of an LOI, but, like, next time you can get in the transfer portal, they can go ahead and do that if they wanted to come back to the University of Memphis. So, I don't think you can recruit them legally through tampering and some of the things that happened there, but we know that happened. So, I don't think you can close the door there. I think there's plenty of space and opportunity and, most importantly, money for Penny and Rick to go take advantage and find a guy to replace David Jones. It may not be a full 22 points per game, but you can get close.
Well, and they very clearly, like Penny has, I know we wanted everyone to be here by June 1, but Penny has shown the ability to keep adding pieces, hell, into December.
Yeah, right.
So I don't doubt that they are shopping today. It's very clear was not their preferred, path forward, but it is what it is. I don't think it necessarily has to ruin the season by any stretch.
No.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Now, I had my old coach, Coach Norvell, Mike Norvell, on the show yesterday, and I found it funny when we posted some of the quotes out. You know, he said, I think Memphis is going to be one of the best teams in the country, and you see some Vol fans, some Vol tears coming out, and they're like, oh, you know, that's hilarious. Drink another one, Mike, that type of thing. Now, I was just looking at some of the responses, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, is what Mike said that wrong? Like, is what Mike said wrong at all? Like, what do you consider one of the best teams in the country? A team that's in the top 25? I think most people would put that sort of as being the bar. And certainly this team's right there on the precipice of making that happen. And I just found it funny some of the reactions you get when people are on the outside looking in at this Tigers team. Because I think Mike fully acknowledges, hey, that third game of the year after our bye week's actually going to be tough. I think there's some people around the country that don't follow Memphis that don't realize this will be one of the most experienced, explosive teams in the country.
Best team, one of the best. I actually think one of the best teams in the country doesn't apply to the top 25. I think one of the best teams in the country means, you know, top 10 teams.
Oh, okay. All right.
I understand why you might roll your eyes at one of the best teams in the country. I think if you said Memphis should be the best team outside the Power Five, or Memphis can be the best Memphis team we've seen in a long time and a team that can make the playoff or whatever else, I can get that. But like,
well,
do we have any kind of early line on that Florida?
No, probably somewhere out there. I haven't checked it.
I mean, I'm not even sure if most people think Florida State is going to be one of the best.
Well, but if you are picked as one of the teams that you think can get into the college football playoff next year, in turn, is that not sort of the definition of one of the best?
Not if you're the group of five.
Okay,
teams.
I think I have a slight disagreement here, but okay.
Okay, that's fine. We're allowed to. When I think of one of the best teams in the country, like how many of the best teams in the NFL are there? There's five. You know, who are the best teams in the NFL? There's the 49ers, and there's the Chiefs, obviously, and there has historically been the Bills, and then you know whatever that maybe the you know before they collapsed the Eagles, or the Ravens, that's about it. Like best teams in the league. That's not. I'm not going every team in the playoffs as one of the best teams in the NFL. So, but
there's also 32 teams as opposed to 133. You know,
I don't listen, Mike. I love Mike, and
right.
I appreciate. I'm glad he came on. Of course, he deeply appreciates Memphis. He appreciated his time here. He embraced his time here. I don't think he was in a hurry to get the hell out of here. He was just given a job that he couldn't turn down. You know that, and then he's done the job that I expected him to do there. Love him. He also is, in fact, when you put him in front of a microphone.
Yes, like, I will agree with every utterance out of your mouth coming after this.
When you put him in front of a microphone, he sort of talks in coach speak.
Yes,
you know?
very much so.
And so, not away from the microphone necessarily. You know, then he'll talk to you a little bit, but on the microphone, he talks in coach speak. And so, what's he going to say about Memphis, a team that he has to play? Of course, he's going to be. I do believe he believes in Memphis, but I also think there's going to be a level of coach speak there, and I think one of the best teams in the country might slightly qualify as coach speak.
Okay. All right. Listen, I just think if you're 12 of 133 and you have the potential to be that, I think you could be termed as one of the best teams in the country.
I'll say this. If Memphis were ranked as 12 of 133, then I might give it to you, right? But they won't get in there if they get in, they won't get in unless
unless they went undefeated.
Well, they'll get in because they're ranked, you know,
25th.
17th, 25th, whatever else. But yes, this is semantics.
Yes, hardcore.
It can be a very feisty Memphis team that can give Florida State a battle and can win every other game on the schedule. So I think. But I don't think I need to say that they're going to be one of the best teams in the country.
Okay. All right. Now, do you?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to switch topics. So if you have anything else to say about that,
I'll let
you go ahead. All right. Now, I was going to ask you: do you think that the Mavs will close it out tonight against the Timberwolves?
If I had to wager straight up, I will take the Timberwolves. Thank you.
Okay.
And my view of this is. I think compared to anyone else, because I've listened to you talk about it, I've listened to Jason talk about it, I've listened to Drew was on with Jason today, I've listened to everyone talk about it, and everyone said it's over. Most people thought it's over. I think it is, you know, I certainly would think Dallas is going to win. But I think Dallas's chance of winning or losing, Minnesota's chance to win, if you took a quarter right now and flipped it three times, what are the odds it would come up heads each time? I don't know.
But
that's all it takes. It's three 50-50 coin flips. Because that's what I think the game, I think these are 50-50 coin flips. The games have all been close. Two of the three of them are in Minnesota. Yes, they have the better closer in Luka, who has certainly played better this, you know, in this series. But I think these are coin flip games. Mm-hmm. And so is there a chance? Yes, there's a chance. Just like if you flip that quarter three times, there is a chance it's going to come up heads each time. And there is therefore a chance, same idea, that Minnesota could win each of the next three. Likely? No, they're not likely. They'd have to win three coin flip games. But they're just coin flip games. They're against a team that they are every bit as good as.
That's happened zero times in NBA history, though. So.
Yes, but the reason it's happened... No. It hasn't happened zero times in NBA history because normally one of those teams, of the 155 times that it has never... You know,
that it hasn't happened.
One of those teams is... It's not just a coin flip. One of those teams is dramatically better than the other one. The Grizzlies accounted for actually four of those. four of those 155, the Grizzlies went down 3-0, right? They went the first three times they were in the playoffs to San Antonio, to the Suns, to Dallas, and then when they were swept, honestly, two other times. They were swept by San Antonio in the first round once, and they were swept by San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals once. Each of those times, the Memphis was dramatically the worst team. There was no chance they were coming back from 0-3 because they were much worse than the team they were playing. Here, the favored team coming into the series is the team that's down. So at best, it's two evenly matched teams, and that's why it's a coin flip. In most circumstances, it's not a coin flip. Memphis, that Memphis team with Pau Gasol playing, you know, the Dirk's Mavs or the Suns with Steve Nash or whatever, that wasn't a coin flip game. They were playing a much better opponent. Here, the opponents are basically evenly matched. That's why it's three coin flips.
I hear you. Now, Celtics, rest or rust? Rest or rust? They don't play till June 6th at 7:30 p.m. I think rest. I think they need KP back. Kristaps Porzingis, and he gets a running start into the NBA finals.
You're exactly right. You could argue rest or rust, except for Porzingis, and that makes a huge difference. And so, therefore, I'm going rest.
I hear you. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. Thanks for joining. We will do it again next Tuesday with Jeff. But he is Jeff Calkins, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He is on X at Jeff_Calkins. The NBA playoffs have tipped off, but it's not too late to get in on the actual FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. Take the long favorite and laugh to the bank. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to get started. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Connor, I have to ask you this. What do we think about Jeff's coin flip example here with Mavs versus the Timberwolves? Do we like it?
I don't hate it.
Okay.
Again, we talked about it in the opening segment. It would be foolish to expect the Timberwolves to win this series.
Right.
However, the door's open. The door's open. And at some point, it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen once in our lifetime, maybe, question mark. Who knows?
Yeah.
How many times has it not happened?
155.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's going to come down to, if Towns plays the way he did,
right,
in game four and game five, they'll have a shot. If he doesn't, no shot. He's got to step up. He's got to play smarter basketball. They've got to be able to outscore Luka and Kyrie. If they do that, they've got a shot. I think that it's just Derek Lively being out changes things, because he's so integral to how the Mavericks run their offense and how they protect the rim. When he's not in there, they run completely differently. It's a different style that the Mavericks are having to run without Derek Lively in there. It's similar, but it's different. It's not as effective. It's not as efficient. And the rim protection isn't there like it was in games one through three. Karl-Anthony Towns, you saw it last game. He was able to drive to the bucket way more, because every time they would switch, he'd get a smaller guy on him, and he would attack immediately. So it's gonna be interesting. I think that I still expect the Mavericks to win this series, no doubt about it. But I think that the coin flip thing, who knows? Maybe it lands on heads three times in a row.
I don't know, because he's saying, like, this is an evenly matched series. What about the, like, Heat-Celtics last year?
That part I didn't necessarily agree with.
Like, because the Heat got up 3-0, right? Celtics come back, force a game seven. Heat still won. Heat were by far the worst team.
I'm sure that in those 150 plus examples, most of those teams were probably evenly matched.
Most of them would be the teams that are just getting blown out and swept, right?
I don't know, man, because those also include, we got to go back like in history. I think those teams were probably more evenly matched than we're giving them credit for.
Yeah. Okay. But it's something that he's kind of blowing my mind. I'm trying to decide if I agree with coin flip three times in a row
I get what he's
They're
trying
evenly
to say.
Matched
I get what he's trying to say. It was that it feels like one of those moments where these teams are close enough, and the injury to Lively opens up that door enough to where you could have conversations about it being possible while still being very unlikely.
Yeah. But you know, my maybe it's my kiss of death, though. Who knows? But I have called this series over. I just – well, not – not over in the sense that I don't think it'll get extended. I just think the obvious decision here, the obvious end result here is that the Mavs win. 155 times out of 155 times, if you're up 3-0, you win. The Mavs were up 3-0. I think it's that simple for me. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm interested to see what tonight looks like and if Derek Lively can go. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And we have some interesting programming notes that were dropped today. There's an SEC documentary, and we do have the Hard Knocks preseason camp subject. So we'll talk about that next, 92.9 FM ESPN. You know, I'll get to the subject of Hard Knocks here in just a moment as it was announced today, and it's a really good one. It's one of the few we brought up in our think tank a few weeks ago about who should be in there. But Netflix, get this, is close to a deal with the SEC on a Drive to Survive, which was the F1, you know, documentary-style college football series. That would be fun as hell, Connor. I can't get over it. That would be appointment viewing for me. I mean, I want more Lane Kiffin. Show me some Lane Kiffin. I want to see what Galen DeBoer's doing at Alabama. I want to see the entire SEC, how it operates behind the scenes. But I need the nitty-gritty. I don't need this to be like it was with the Swamp Kings one with Florida back in the day, where they make it into propaganda.
Yeah.
I need this to be behind the scenes. Show me, where's the NIL money coming from? I want to see how much money they're making, where they're staying, how they're living life these days. That, really, to me, especially in this new day and age of college athletics, that interests me so heavily. It's not even close.
Yeah, if they do it right, it could be fascinating. But you wonder how much access Netflix would actually get from these schools.
And you'd have to sort of jump around a little bit. I'd even be interested in the players at Vandy. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Like, how do they operate day to day knowing they're going to go 2-10? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do they feel about going into training camp knowing that they're not going to make a bowl game, all that stuff?
Yes, absolutely. I need to see that.
Yeah. But who else you need to say? You were about to say something?
Well, I was going
to
say, I just don't even know. Are they playing Georgia this year? I can't remember if they're playing Georgia or not. But, like, I would like to see Vanderbilt, like, the week that they're playing, like, Alabama or Georgia, just see how they prep for it. Are they walking through practice?
Right.
Are they like, why should I even be here? Like, do we have a shot in this game?
I think the one school that would limit a lot of access would be Georgia, right? Yeah, I think that would be the school that you'd look at to limit access.
They do not play Georgia this year.
But Georgia would limit access.
Vanderbilt plays Texas, though. That'd be an interesting week to see.
I mean, Lane Kiffin, I want front and center. See how Ole Miss operates. Georgia, with all the driving stuff and all the things that have happened around that program, I would not think Kirby and the higher ups in that athletic department would give much access to Netflix to go film and talk to players. But hey, it is what it is. Now, on to a Hard Knocks. The subject of Hard Knocks this summer is going to be the Chicago Bears. That is beautiful. That is very well done. I know that in this day and age, there's a lot of teams and older players that don't necessarily want to be on TV and have like the access and the cameras around them all the time. But this is a young, up-and-coming team. It'll be the first number one overall quarterback since 2018 when they had the Browns on with Baker. The first episode, of course, will air Tuesday night, August 6th. But this is perfect. This is dead on. I want to see what they all look like. You have Caleb Williams to follow Keenan Allen in a new spot for the first time in his career. Roma Dunsey, DeAndre Swift on his third team. Kevin Byard was an offseason acquisition. This is his second team that he's ever played for outside of the Tennessee Titans. And, of course, like, Caleb Williams is going to be the front and center guy I want to follow. I feel like Matt Eberflus will be a boring coach to follow. He's sort of the intense, weird defensive coordinator, defensive-style coach. But I want to see Caleb Williams behind the scenes. Maybe he can ingratiate himself to a lot more fans, because I feel like some have the wrong idea of who he is as a guy.
It's a great choice. I'm going to be really excited to watch the series. We talked about it a few weeks ago, and I think that they may have actually been like number one on our wish list of teams that we want to see. I do think it would be interesting. Do you watch Welcome to Wrexham by chance?
I do not, actually.
Okay,
I've been wanting to get into it.
Highly recommend. It's in its third season. I think it's been renewed for a fourth season already, but it's a great story. I won't spoil it if you haven't watched, if you don't know how the team does.
You said it's fourth season. Who cares?
It's in the fourth season. Yeah,
I should have watched it a long time ago.
But either way, what they do in this Wrexham series that I think is really cool is that they do have a fan perspective, and specifically with the Chicago Bears. I do think it would be interesting if they had like a fan perspective, how excited the fan base may be about this team. Because it's the first real hope they've had with football.
Would you aim for like celebrity fans or just like down home season ticket holder for 50 years?
I want to know about the guy who goes to the same bar for 30 years to watch the Bears play.
I get
that's
you.
Who I don't need Bill Murray. I want, you know, tell me about the guy who's given his entire life.
Chicago, North Side Chicago accent.
Yes.
And just with the mustache, talking about Ditka and the good old days. That's what I
need. Give me Cousin Richie. I need him, but in Hard Knocks. I need that perspective because it would be fascinating because it's their first real shot to have a good football team, it feels like, in a very long time.
And I think even more so than that, it's their first shot, really, in franchise history, damn near, of having a good quarterback.
That's
what people need to latch onto and understand about this. It's not just like, okay, this franchise is headed in the right direction and they could be a good team. This could be their first 4,000-yard passing quarterback. Like, literally, like, put that through your brain. They've never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards. And I would imagine Caleb Williams with Keenan Allen and Roma Dunsey and DJ Moore, I think year one, that should be easily accomplished. Like, he should accomplish that.
Well, speaking of Rome, there's an interview the day after he got drafted that he did with Chicago Sports Radio, and they quizzed him. They said, do you know what the all-time receiving leader for the Bears is? Like, what the number is? And he was like,
is it Johnny Knox? Who is it?
No, it's close. You got the first name right.
Oh, gosh. Who?
Starts with an M. Johnny Morris.
Oh,
but how many yards do you think it is?
3,000-something?
5,000.
5,000.
Rome laughed at it. He was like, that's it?
I mean, how much does Keenan Allen have at this point in his career? That's a real question. Keenan Allen's probably lapped that with the Chargers.
Got to.
He's probably done that twice at this point in his career. He might be at, 9,000, something like that? He's at 10,000. So he's doubled it in his time with the Chargers.
Like, that's crazy.
I don't know. Is it something in the water? Is it their stadium and how cold it gets during the late fall into winter? Like, what is it that has limited every bit of offense that they've ever had in their entire franchise history? And they've had some very successful years, but it's been with Rex Grossman getting them to the Super Bowl. Jim McMahon, who was never that good. If you ask anybody from back then, never that good. It was all the defense.
Jay Cutler.
It's the best one I can think of off the top of my head, seriously.
He's their passing leader, Jay Cutler. And he kind of did.
Do you have yards? Do you have yards in front of you?
23,000.
Okay, not bad.
Respectable.
That's very respectable. He didn't care about football. He didn't. He wanted to be out of Chicago by the end of that whole thing, and people in Chicago hated him by the end of it. But this is the first opportunity the Chicago Bears have to have like a Pro Bowl legitimate offense, quarterback, the whole thing. And their OC, Shane Waldron, I think that'll be okay. So he was good with Russell
Wilson. I think
Wilson.
It would be really interesting to see a perspective from somebody who's stuck with them.
I know they're hyped up. I can tell you that right now.
I hope it works out
My brother him. Works at 670.
I really hope it works out for
him. And all those guys, all the hosts have bought Caleb Williams jerseys. They're all bought into it. And it's hard not to be. I mean, this is the best chance they've ever had to actually have a good offense and a good quarterback, like a face of the league type quarterback. And we know that hits different. Middle linebacker, they don't become faces of the league. Mike Singletary, he's not a face of the league, and he ain't walking through that door anytime soon.
Robbie Gould is their all-time scoring leader.
Well, he was damn good.
He was damn good. But still, like, when you look at their all-time stuff, you're just like, damn. It's rough.
It's like you almost question, like, how have they ever won a Super Bowl? How have they ever been in that conversation?
It's almost like a few years they weren't allowed to play offense.
How old are they as a franchise?
104.
That's how many years they've not been allowed to play offense. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, we're going to hop into small talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And small talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, Connor, we have an update on Derek Lively for tonight's Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, which will be right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah, we do. He's going through a workout right now, and he's looking good. The reporters that are there are videotaping him. He looks good. He says that he feels good. He's still questionable for tonight's game, but it definitely looks better than
this was always the suggested return game for him after
was game five.
Out,
they were hoping hoping that it was going to be game five. After the workout this morning, it sounded like he was still a bit worried, but because he said that we just got to see how, you know, how many red flags pop up, how I feel after this workout. And I guess he feels okay because, he's catching lobs, he's dunking the ball, he's running around, so he looks pretty good. Hopefully he can give it a go.
All right, now I have a couple of things I want to get into. One thing I've been avoiding for a while. Have you seen Terrence Howard lately? Have you seen what he did on Joe Rogan on the podcast?
I have not. He can't say I'm a consumer.
Is he nuts? Is he like, he might be out of his mind. He's out of his mind now.
Did you see him on Grind City Media?
He's literally scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah, he's...
He was on...
Listen, mine.
he was on Joe Rogan, and basically, like, I don't know if he took a bunch of shrooms or, you know, a bunch of acid before he went on there.
They do things on there.
Sure. But he was like going through all of his studies and the things he's looked up. One of the big things that everybody laughed at is one. He says one times one is not one, it's two.
No, he said that. He said that on Grind City Media too.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
And then he said he was talking about the cosmos and our planet, like our solar system.
It's crazy.
He said the asteroid belt was a former planet that blew up.
Sure.
Which has been debunked. Like he says, if you put all those asteroids and all those pieces together, it would equal the size of a planet.
Is he wrong?
You know how wrong he is? If you put every bit of all those like broken asteroids and bits together in the asteroid belt in our universe, in our solar system, it would be 5% of the mass of the Earth. So there's no chance it was ever.
Gabe, that's what the scientists are telling you. Okay?
Don't listen to the scientists.
Do your own research, Gabe.
All right. Now that I'm done with that, we have to move on to something even even funnier. Influencer Hayden Hopkins, do you know who she is? She's a dancer, and she's actually the girlfriend of Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. This is alleged, but I just want to go through it. This is something that I think is, you know, it was put out by somebody who would be in the know on this, okay? It was rumored that she was expecting a child, because she's pregnant, with Mark Davis, who is the Las Vegas Raiders owner who she's in a relationship with. But it's supposedly, I don't want this is small talk. It's time for rumors. We're just going to go through the rumor mill. Supposedly Joey Gallo, who is now with the Nationals, who's very bad at baseball at this point in his career. He's batted like 100 for the last 5 years. So that's something that was not on my bingo card halfway through 2024.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. That was interesting.
But supposedly it's Joey Gallo, so I don't know. And by the way, influencer / professional dancer, we could have gone some directions with that, but I don't want to speculate what type of dancer she is. I'm kind of curious.
Does it count? Dancing on TikTok?
I guess. The influencer,
Does that count as professional dancer?
No, that's not professional. Come on. That can't be professional, right? There's no way. But if this, I want this confirmed, because I need to know if the switch up is true here. So,
I'm rooting for it not to be the 70-year-olds.
You don't want it to be Mark Davis.
No,
kid. I think I'm there with you.
Yeah,
I don't. Can he? I mean, we saw who was it? Robert De Niro. Listen, I'm just saying, all dudes are built differently. Like Robert De Niro had one, and Al Pacino recently had a kid at like 90. So it's possible. But for Mark Davis, I don't know.
We do advertise for hims.
I mean, Mark Davis was, he drives a Mini Cooper. I don't know if that says
anything. Have you seen the haircut, though? It's rough.
Yeah.
One of the toughest haircuts.
I don't know if Mark Davis does not strike me as a guy who has just like testosterone coursing through his veins at this point in his
life. No.
70 years old.
No, the only thing that matters about him is that bank account.
And what's the deal? Like, why can't he change the haircut? Like, somebody needs to ask him that and try not to offend him in the process. That's just insane. He literally, it's like he asked them to put a bowl on his head and go around.
Uh-huh. At some point, you make enough money to where you don't care what you look like. But that's my theory.
Okay. That's an interesting theory.
He's attached to, what'd you say, a 26-year-old super or model and professional dancer and TikToker or influencer or whatever. And,
yeah.
You know.
His looks did not bring her in, is what you're saying.
It's not impeding him from doing what he wants to, all right? Okay. So I think he's okay.
I get it. Now, speaking of bad baseball, my Cardinals. They're actually doing better, Connor. Have you seen this? Have you seen they got back to 500 yesterday? Oh, my gosh. For the first time since April 16th? How about this? My Cardinals are making a run. And Nolan Gorman, stud lately. In the last 15 games, 333, 6 bombs, 13 RBIs, 15 runs, 2 stolen bases. We're trending in the right direction.
You want to hate the last 10?
You're out here trying to hate on me for my pick, and you said I was a homer. You went there.
Because
they're in second place, 5 games back of the Brewers in the NL Central.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hey, they're only a half game back in the wild card.
8, 9.
I'm telling you.
9-2 in their last 11.
Our teams are going to keep us invested until August or September, and then they're going to break our backs. It's what's going to happen. At least it's what's going to happen with the Red
Sox. Do you ever feel like a fair weather, though, sometimes, like where it's like they're trending in such a bad direction? Like the Cardinals, I stopped watching.
I don't even try to watch,
even though Bally's going through it
I
right now.
I think I'm just very realistic about this era of Red Sox
But
baseball.
I hate to be it. Like, I don't watch it when they go on these, like, slumps.
Well, I don't have
access. As soon as I get told that they're playing well, I try to tune in.
Every time I have a chance to watch the Red Sox, I'll watch them, but I just don't have much opportunity.
Does that make me fair weather, or am I protecting my peace?
You're protecting your peace.
Listen, man,
we went through a lot this year with our teams, all right? It's been a tough year for me sports-wise. From Memphis Tigers basketball to the Grizzlies to the Red Sox. I've got my ass kicked this year, okay? It's been tough.
You got to protect yourself.
Watching a lot of movies. I'm going Furiosa tonight. I'm pumped.
Yeah, Furiosa. Okay. And then you said that we talked about Fury Road, right, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes place before Fury Road.
Furiosa, yes.
Okay. All right. I still have not watched.
I don't know if I will. It rips.
I don't know if I will. I'm sorry.
Gabe, you like desert movies. Go watch it.
Do I?
Yes!
I think you're just, like, assuming. Why did you assume I like desert movies? Good point. But that's not the same at all.
Gabe, I do not lead you astray. Trust me. Watch Mad Max Fury Road. It rips.
Yeah, we don't lead our listeners astray either, do we?
No.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and get to hour number 3 coming up next, Jason Munns. But I just want to go through it. This is something that I think is, you know, it was put out by somebody who would be in the know on this, okay? It was rumored that she was expecting a child, because she's pregnant, with Mark Davis, who is the Las Vegas Raiders owner who she's in a relationship with. But it's supposedly, and I don't want this is small talk. It's time for rumors. We're just going to go through the rumor mill. Supposedly Joey Gallo, who is now with the Nationals, who's very bad at baseball at this point in his career. He's batted like 100 for the last 5 years. So that's something that was not on my bingo card halfway through 2024.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. That was interesting.
But supposedly it's Joey Gallo, so I don't know. And by the way, influencer/professional dancer, we could have gone some directions with that, but I don't want to speculate what type of dancer she is. I'm kind of curious.
Does it count? I guess dancing on TikTok?
I guess. The influencer,
does that count as professional dancer?
No, that's not professional. Come on. That can't be professional, right? There's no way. But if this, I want this confirmed, because I need to know if the switch up is true here. So,
I'm rooting for it not to be the 70-year-olds.
You don't want it to be Mark Davis' kid. I think I'm there with you.
Yeah.
I don't. Can he? I mean, we saw, like, who was it? Robert De Niro. Listen, I'm just saying, all dudes are built differently. Like, Robert De Niro had one, and Al Pacino recently had a kid at like 90. So it's possible. But for Mark Davis, I don't know.
We do advertise for hims.
I mean, Mark Davis was, I mean, he drives a Mini Cooper. I don't know. I don't know if that says
anything. Have you seen the haircut, though? It's rough.
Yeah.
One of the toughest haircuts.
I don't know if Mark Davis does not strike me as a guy who has just like testosterone coursing through his veins at this point in his life.
No.
70 years old.
No, the only thing that matters about him is that bank account.
And what's the deal? Like, why can't he change the haircut? Like, somebody needs to ask him that and try not to offend him in the process. That's just insane. It's like he asked them to put a bowl on his head and go around.
Uh-huh. At some point, you make enough money to where you don't care what you look like. But that's my theory.
Okay. That's an interesting theory.
He's attached to, what'd you say, a 26-year-old super or model and professional dancer and TikToker or influencer or whatever. And,
yeah.
You know.
His looks did not bring her in, is what you're saying.
It's not impeding him from doing what he wants to, all right? Okay. So I think he's okay.
I get it. Now, speaking of bad baseball, my Cardinals. They're actually doing better, Connor. Have you seen this? Have you seen they got back to .500 yesterday? Oh, my gosh. For the first time since April 16th? How about this? My Cardinals are making a run. And Nolan Gorman, stud lately. In the last 15 games, .333, 6 bombs, 13 RBIs, 15 runs, 2 stolen bases. We're trending in the right direction.
You want to hate the last 10?
You're out here trying to hate on me for my pick, and you said I was a homer. You went there. They're in second place, 5 games back of the Brewers in the NL Central.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hey, they're only a half game back in the wild card.
8, 9.
I'm telling you.
9-2 in their last 11.
Our teams are going to keep us invested until August or September, and then they're going to break our backs. It's what's going to happen. At least it's what's going to happen with the Red
Sox. Do you ever feel like a fair weather, though, sometimes, like where it's like they're trending in such a bad direction? Like the Cardinals, I stopped watching. I don't even try to watch, even though Bally's going through it
I
right now.
I think I'm just very realistic about this era of Red Sox
but
baseball.
I hate to be it. Like, I don't watch it when they go on these, like, slumps.
Well, I don't
when,
have
as soon as I,
have
as soon as
access.
As soon as I get told that they're playing well, I try to tune in.
Every time I have a chance to watch the Red Sox, I'll watch them, but I just don't have much opportunity.
Does that make me fair weather, or am I protecting my peace?
You're protecting your peace.
That's what
Listen, man, we went through a lot this year with our teams, all right? It's been a tough year for me sports-wise. From Memphis Tigers basketball to the Grizzlies to the Red Sox. I've got my ass kicked this year, okay? It's been tough.
You got to protect
You got to protect
sometimes.
Myself. Watch a lot of movies. I'm going Furiosa tonight. I'm pumped.
Yeah, Furiosa. Okay. And then you said that we talked about Fury Road, right, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes place before Fury Road.
Furiosa, yes.
Okay. All right. I still have not watched.
You
I don't
need
know
to.
If
it's
I
awesome.
Will.
It rips.
I don't know if I will. I'm sorry.
Gabe, you like desert movies. Go watch it.
Do I?
Yes.
I think you're just like assuming. Why did you assume I like desert movies? Good point. But that's not the same at all.
Gabe, I do not lead you astray. Trust me. Watch Mad Max Fury Road. It rips.
Yeah, we don't lead our listeners astray either, do
no.
we?
No.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and get to hour number 3 coming up next, Jason Muntz.